Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
A message last week called The Dragon, the Bear, the Beast, and the King. And it's actually from the book of Revelation. I began in Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to begin there again. Daniel chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. We often read this and we don't understand the implications of this, but it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this point even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And we begin to look at this and we said, Jesus is the Savior of the world. It says, "Unto us a child is born." We said, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord. Unto us a son is given. But Isaiah didn't stop there. And Isaiah prophesied some 600 to 700 years before Christ. And he said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He went on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this point, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is going to do this in his strength and his power. So this is a great example of Bible prophecy. And when Jesus came on the earth and when he was born the first time when he came as Savior, only about half of the prophecies of the Old Testament of him were fulfilled. So there are about half of them that are yet to be fulfilled. And the reason the Jews as a whole did not receive Christ and understand it is because they didn't see this part as his coming as king. But Jesus has not only come as Savior and Lord, but Jesus Christ is coming again as king, and he will reign on the earth. And the Bible calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, we looked at David, and David prophesied in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. This is another great example. This is about 1,000 years before Christ. And if you read that closely, Psalm 22 very accurately depicts Jesus Christ on the cross crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 23 is talking about Jesus is our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't lack anything. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he takes good care of me. Yeah. Praise God. He protects me. He provides for me. He takes care of me. Jesus is my Lord. But then in Psalm 24, he says, Jesus is the coming king 1,000 years before Christ. So we see these prophecies in the Old Testament, but we also see them in the New Testament. And when we go to the book of Revelation, which is a New Testament book of prophecy, it says in Revelation 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the unveiling. This is the revealing. This is the opening up and revealing of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus appears to John in Revelation chapter 1 as the Savior of the world. In verse 5, he said, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." He appears then to John as the resurrected Savior of the world. And he says in verse 18, "I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I hold the keys of hell and death." And then in verse 19, he says this, "The things which you have seen, I want you to write. The things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So verse 19 of chapter 1 is a key to understanding the entire book of Revelation. And it's not a book of hidden meanings. It means to unveil, to reveal Jesus Christ. It's not a book of doom and gloom and damnation. It is a book of hope. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Lord of the church, and he's the coming King. And so chapter 1, he writes about what he saw, Jesus, the resurrected Savior of the world. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, he writes about Jesus, the Lord of the church, and there are seven churches of Asia, the current area of Turkey, that were in existence, and Jesus had a message for every church. Those seven churches represent seven churches in Asia at that time. Those seven churches represent the condition of any true church from the time of Christ, you know, ascension into heaven until the time that Jesus Christ comes again. Jesus is Lord of the church. And he says, John, I want you to take this and I want you to give this message to the angels, to the pastors of these seven churches. Those seven churches, I personally believe, also represent the church chronologically from the time that Jesus Christ was here, the apostolic church, when the church was first born, Ephesus, the very first one that left its first love, to the last two latter-day churches in Revelation chapter 3, the church, first of all, of Philadelphia, the great missionary church, the church that had no rebuke, the church of brotherly love, and the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Now, of all seven conditions of the church, the church of Laodicea was by far the church in its worst condition. And Jesus, the Lord of the church, has a message for every church in every condition. And he says to the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, in verse 20 of chapter 3, to him who knocks, if any man hear my voice and knock, I will open the door and he will come in and have fellowship with me. It's a book of grace. I can preach grace all over the book of Revelation. But then in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I beheld and I looked, I saw into heaven, and there was a door open and the voice of a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here and I will show you the things that shall be hereafter. After what? After the church age. Jesus is the coming king. And in chapter 4 through chapter 22, Jesus reveals to John that he's coming as king. Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, as he says in Revelation 17, verse 14, and as he says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is the coming king. And it talks about this. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, in times to come, in his time, he will show who is the only potent to me, the all-powerful King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ the King is coming again. And this is not a book of damnation. This is a book of hope. There is hope when we understand that Jesus is not only Savior, Jesus is not only Lord, but Jesus is the coming King. And in chapter 4, there is one sitting on the throne. John sees into heaven, and the one sitting on the throne in chapter 5 has a seven-sealed book. And they were weeping because there was no one found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, proceeded to the throne to take the book from the hands of him who sat on the throne, and he began to unloose the seals thereof. And as Jesus began to unloose the seven seals of the book, there was great joy. But as he began to unloose those seven seals, different things begin to happen on the earth. And the seventh seal is made up of seven trumpets. And when the seventh trumpet sounded in Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Thank God Jesus is coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is coming to reign on the earth. And there's so much hope in this book. Now, last week, we looked at Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, which talks about a beast who led these kings, and they were coming against Israel, and Jesus came and overcame them. And then we read in Revelation 19 about the final battle when Jesus comes on a great white horse, and on his vesture and on his thigh there is a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus comes with his saints to reign on the earth, and we shall reign with him. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming as king. And there's some things that, you know what, that could upset you if you don't know really what's going on. But if you have your hope in Christ, you don't have to be upset. You don't have to be worried. In fact, I'm going to show you some things today that ought to curl your hair on the back of your neck to show you what's really going on in reality, because it's happening before our eyes. We are seeing things revealed, and I am so appalled that so many people in the church are like deaf, dumb, and blind, spiritually speaking. They do not have a clue of what is going on in the world. They don't even have a clue of what's going on in the kingdom. They like an ostrich with its head stuck in the sand. So like some parents, you know, we used to have some really ornery teenagers in our church in Kit Carson. And listen, if you're ornery in Kit Carson, everybody knows it. It's a town of 300. It's like, you talk about living in the fishbowl as a preacher. Everybody knows everything you did and more. But these kids were so ornery, and they'd be around their town spinning their cars and doing cookies, and I mean, they're just good old red-blooded American kids, you know. But their parents would act like they were such saints, and it's like a bunch of the church today. They got their heads stuck in the sand like an ostrich, and they don't even really know what's going on around them. And I'm here to show you some things, and if you can't see it, I don't know what's wrong with you. But the King is coming again, and I'm excited. Hallelujah. If you can't tell I'm excited, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you'll see I'm really, really excited. But Jesus is coming as the King. Now, he talks about that, right? Daniel said Jesus is coming as King 600 years before Christ, 700 years before Christ. Right? David said Jesus is coming as King 1,000 years, Savior, Lord, and King before Christ. Revelation, you know, just Revelation was written about 33 AD, or about 67 AD. Jesus was raised from the dead in 33 AD. About 34 years after his, you know, resurrection, Revelation was written, and John the Apostle is saying Jesus is coming as King. In fact, John wrote 1 John. And he wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear. He had such a revelation of this. Because do you know John the Apostle, they didn't like him very much. And they tried to boil him in hot oil, all right? And he didn't boil. He didn't boil. Because Jesus said, listen, John, nobody's going to take you out until I say they're going to take you out. So they pulled him out of the oil pot, and they put him on this island for criminals. And he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, okay? Now, to me, this is what that means. All right, some of you have different opinions. Your opinion's like noses, you know? We all got one. Praise God, usually got a couple holes in it, okay? So to me, is the Lord's day is when we come to church and worship God, all right? And there's a reason that we worship God on Sunday. Because number one, Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, on the first day of the week. Number two, the Holy Ghost was sent, and the church was born 50 days later on Pentecost Sunday. Number three, Paul said, when you come together on the first day of the week in the book of Corinthians, right? So that's why we worship on Sunday, because we put God first. I still believe in it. I still believe in coming together and worship. I still believe in Hebrews 10:25. Whether you believe it or not, I believe it. That's why I opened the church in the pandemic. Because Hebrews 10:25 says this. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And if after this service you can't see the day is approaching, you are deaf, dumb, and blind spiritually, and you need to get born again. Because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And we need to live red hot on fire for Jesus. He says, don't be like the rest of the world. Listen, you say, well, you're the pastor. I practiced this before I was a pastor. I was raising the church. I was raising a dead, non-spirit-filled church. But I'm telling you, Barbara was too. Some good things happened there. We got saved there. Hallelujah. So all these people always throwing bricks at the church. Well, are you involved in one? Are you being part of one? And you're not. I'll stop right there. I messed this church up when I came because I still got some challenges, because I still got a body and a soul, okay? But we're still involved, praise God, and we still believe in it, praise God. But John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and when he got in the Spirit, Jesus gave him the revelation, and he wrote it. He was banished on this island as a criminal, and somehow he got off of it and wrote the book of 1 John in 90 AD, 20-some years, 23 years later, and he said, perfect love casts out all fear. Nobody had a revelation of that like John had a revelation of that, because he was in love with the Lamb and the Lamb was in love with him. Praise God. But we're going to go back today to the book of Daniel, because Daniel had a vision. And by the grace of God, we'll go to the revelation and we'll see in Revelation what Daniel saw. Praise God. But we're going to go back to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to begin in Daniel chapter 7. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, and we're going to be reading the first 14 verses. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and the sum of the matters. And Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night and beheld the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, we found last week that the waters of the sea represent the Gentile nations of the world. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I watched, I beheld till the wings were plucked and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This first beast that he saw represented the Babylonian Empire. Now, we'll study probably next week from Daniel chapter 2, when the king Nebuchadnezzar, right, of the Babylonian Empire had a dream and forgot about it, and none of his people could tell him about it. But Daniel went, he was going to kill all the wise men. He said, why keep these guys on the payroll, right? But Daniel said, give us some time and we'll pray. And God revealed the dream to Daniel, and Daniel came and interpreted the dream. And the king had a vision of a statue with a head of gold, a breast and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And a stone that was cut without hands came from the heavens and hit the image, not in the head, but on the feet. And it fell to the ground, and the stone became a mountain that filled the whole earth. And he said, you, O king, are this head of gold. That was the Babylonian Empire. Same thing Daniel's talking about here. The breasts and arms of silver, right, represented the Media-Persian Empire, the largest empire that's ever been on the world, ruled over 127 nations. Now let's read, okay? Here, the next verse in verse 5. And another beast, the second, like a bear. And it raised up itself on its side and had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth. And they said, arise and devour much flesh. Again, this in Daniel 7, verse 5, represents the Media-Persian Empire. Now, Daniel was alive during the, right, Babylonian Empire. And this book was written about 530 years BC. The Babylonian Empire went from 612 years before Christ to 539 years before Christ, about 70 years. It was the area of Babylon, or the Chaldees, right, right up against the Persian Sea, current area of Iraq and Baghdad. It went back from the east there to the west, north of Israel, and then went down south through Israel over against the Red Sea on the western side, or the eastern side, excuse me, of Egypt. That was the Babylonian Empire. Then he saw the Media-Persian Empire, and he saw it as a bear. He said, arise and devour much flesh. It was represented by those breasts and arms of silver in Daniel chapter 2. And the Media-Persian Empire, the largest empire that's ever ruled in the earth, went from the western side of Europe, right? Britannia, right? Where we get Great Britain from. All right? Clear over to the eastern side of India, south through the Persian Gulf in the Middle East, over Israel, down around, you know, the north side of Africa, Egypt, and the very north of Africa. All right, that was the Persian Empire. Then the next empire that he saw was the Grecian Empire. And the Media-Persian Empire went from 338 BC, 539 BC to 338 BC, about 200 years. Then he saw the Grecian Empire, which went from 338 BC to 44 BC, that's about 290 years. The Grecian Empire was just the southern western part of Europe, and it went over to Persia, right? Or just where we talked about against the Persian Gulf, right? Right there, that just came up against Persia, okay? And then it was ruled by Alexander the Great. Daniel also had some visions, if I'm correct. Alexander the Great had four generals. He came into power very quickly. When Daniel saw this leopard had wings, and it came into power very quickly, very quickly. Then, after he saw that, he saw another beast. And this other beast, this Roman Empire, okay? So this Roman Empire in Daniel chapter 2, when the king had a dream, had legs of iron. There was an eastern and western part, right? Then it had feet of iron and clay. That's revised Rome. Okay, now that's there, right? Those things have come to pass. Did you know, I read a book years ago by a man named Finis Dake. He wrote it in 1964. It was called God's Plan for Man. And in his book, he wrote that the Eastern and Western Europe must come together. The Iron Curtain has to be torn down. He said, this has to happen so that all these countries that were once part of the Roman Empire can come under a common head. He wrote that in 1964, and then he died. He thought it would happen by a war. It didn't happen by a war, but I graduated from Bible school in 1988, and I watched in late 1988 as they tore that wall down. We saw it happen with our eyes, and it came by peace, not by a war, but it happened just like Mr. Dake said. And I thought, that's amazing how accurate he could be. In fact, I was in Dr. Lester Sumrall's church in November of 1987 while I was going to Bible school, and he prophesied. And he said in 1988, he said, the high are going to be brought low and the low are going to be exalted. He said, it's going to happen in the government and it's going to happen in the church. And we watched it happen just like he said. He also prophesied this in 1987, November. Dr. Lester Sumrall said, communism is going to fall. And when he did, right, he was talking about Russia, right, and that Iron Curtain coming. It's like we were at the height of the Cold War. It's like he poured ice water on 3,000 people. It's like all the air went out of the room, and he said, what is wrong with you people? And it was so real to him because God had revealed it to him. And he just started talking about it. Bam, 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 bam. This is how it's going to happen. He just said it. He was so bold about it. Hallelujah. And then we watched what he said happen the very next year. Surely the Lord our God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. We saw it happen. It was amazing to me. I'm talking about prophecy in real time, okay? But we got Bible prophecy that's still coming to pass. Now, as we study about these different empires, the Roman Empire came after the Grecian Empire, and it was from 44 BC to 286 AD. That was in existence when Jesus came. Now, a lot of things that were in existence in the Roman Empire actually helped the gospel be preached and helped the gospel get out. Hallelujah. So some amazing things happen. So now when we go back to Daniel chapter 7 and read, okay, the first was like a lion. That was Babylon. The second was like a bear. Okay, verse 5. Behold, another beast, a second like a bear raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said unto it, this is Daniel 7, 5, arise and devour much flesh. This represents the Media-Persian Empire. Now, the Media-Persian Empire has not come back, but I believe the spirit of the bear is well and alive on the earth. And I believe the spirit of the bear is going to come from what we knew as the former Soviet Union. And in Afghanistan, right, the U.S. got up and walked out. And when we got up and walked out, we left $85 billion of military equipment. Let me tell you who is still there in Afghanistan, and they're alive and well. Russia is still there, and China is still there. And I'm telling you that the current sitting president of the United States of America cannot think straight about the matter because China and Russia are both in his back pocket. They're there, so he can't think straight about it. Okay, that's what's happened. That's current events. I'm gonna show you some more current events. You may like it, you may not, but it's happening. And it's here, and we might as well just face up and say, hey, these things, they prophesied about it years ago, it's happened in the past. So we see this bear, the spirit of bear. That's what I believe. The Bible actually talks about Gog and Magog coming down from the north in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it also talks about Gog and Magog in Revelation chapter 20. So I believe that represents that bear, okay? But now, we come down here, and he says, after this I beheld and another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a fowl. This represents a Grecian Empire, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Okay? This is Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. Daniel saw these empires before they happened. Now, Daniel was alive about the end of the Babylonian Empire, and he's a really unique person because he reigned under four different world leaders, right, in two different world empires, but, you know, one of them was kind of connected, okay? So, or had more than one part. So he reigned under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar of Babylon, right? And then he reigned under Darius the Mede from the Media-Persian Empire and Cyrus the Persian. Okay, Daniel reigned in all four of those kings. And so he wrote this during this time, or wrote about it. And he says, after this, in verse 7, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I believe this beast is the Roman Empire, and it represents the revised Roman Empire, right, which is happening today. We see different aspects of it. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn there were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones, in verse 9, were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments were like snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld, I saw. Then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I spoke and beheld even till the beast was slain and his body was strained, destroyed, and given a burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13 and 14 says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and nation languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus, the Son of Man, is coming again. Jesus is coming as King to reign on the earth, and he saw God the Father, and he saw God the Son, and he saw Christ coming in his kingdom. Now, what does all this mean to us today? Because I can read all that, and everybody says, well, that doesn't have nothing to do with what we're doing now. Well, I'm going to show you in just a little bit. In fact, while I was reading this in the middle of the night, God spoke to me and he gave me a verse from 2 Thessalonians 1. And we were there last week from verse 6 to verse 12, but we're gonna go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and I'm gonna show you what's happening today. And we're gonna read from verse 1 to verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 7. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, that you do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit nor by word or letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, when you read this term, the day of the Lord or the day of Christ in Bible prophecy, it's a very broad term. So it can speak of any time of when Christ comes from for his church and receives his church to himself, or when Jesus comes and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. So the term the day of the Lord or the day of Christ could be different events happening in over 1,000-year period. And if you don't understand that, you can make a huge mess out of Bible prophecy. He says, let no man deceive you in verse 3 by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So before the Antichrist is going to reign and before Christ comes, there is going to be a falling away first. So there are two things that are happening prophetically. There are two things that are happening in the world, in the church today. One of them is that there is a great revival. God said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. The other one is that there is apostasy. At the same time as revival, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You couldn't have got out of this room unless you came in at first. I don't care what your Bible doctrine is, that's what the Bible says. Okay, so there's apostasy and revival that are happening simultaneously. On one side, there's people that are getting hotter and hotter and more in love with Jesus. And on the other side, there are people that are being lulled to sleep and cold and dead. On one side, there's Philadelphia, this church of brotherly love that's going out there and preaching the gospel and winning souls. And on the other side, there's Laodicea. You lukewarm people, I wish you were hot or cold, I'd vomit you out. Jesus said that. And he was telling, there's grace, guys. If you'll come and hear, I'm knocking at the door. And if you'll come and listen and open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship. But there's revival and apostasy at the same time. It's all over the scripture. Okay, I'm just saying, this is what's happening. So he said, don't be troubled. Because before that can happen, there's got to be a falling away. Now, Israel in the Old Testament is a type of the church. And Israel could never be taken over unless they were, number one, backslidden, or number two, removed. If they weren't backslidden or they weren't removed, no foreign nation, no foreign country could overtake them. And Israel, against all odds, in 1948 became a nation. And by the grace of God, they have remained a nation. You know, Egypt thought in the 1960s that they'd just walk over there and wipe Israel out. But to their dismay, they had a six-day war. And guess who won? Israel won. By supernatural odds and by supernatural means. Because God, he says, the zeal of the Lord's going to perform this. The son of David is going to reign on the throne. Do you know there were all these Bible preachers, like a bunch of them now? There's a lot of them saying Israel will never become a nation. And they became a nation. And they remain a nation. And there's Bible preachers now saying, oh, Israel doesn't have... Listen, Israel has... There's a lot of promises God made to Israel that still haven't come to pass. And every promise of God's going to come to pass. And any nation, okay, so Daniel's in the Babylonian Empire, right? We're talking about the Gentile oppression of Israel. There was Egypt that oppressed them. There was Assyria that oppressed them. Babylon oppressed them. Greece oppressed them, right? Babylon, Media, Persia oppressed them. Greece oppressed them. And Rome oppressed them. But Jesus is coming as king. And Daniel was writing, he was living in the Babylonian Empire, writing about this. I had this vision, and this is what I saw. And he saw these things. Now, when I read these verses right here in 2 Thessalonians, God said, there's some things that are happening in the church. I want to tell you what's happening in the church today. He says, don't let any man deceive you by any means. That day will not come except there's a falling away first, and the Antichrist, the man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition or judgment, who opposes and exalts himself above all who's called God, that is worshiped, so that he is God, sits in the temple, showing himself that he is God. I'm going to show you some things today from current events that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, because people are mocking God. And he says, remember not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now you know what restrains that he might be revealed in his time. What is restraining? What is holding back the Antichrist? Is the church. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Until the church is removed or backslidden, the Antichrist cannot take over the world. But he's given it his level best shot. Then that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the Lord said, there's four things that are happening today. Number one, this is what's happening currently in the church. This is what's happening in the world. There is a polarization. Polarization. In other words, there is evil and there is good, there is right and there is wrong, and it's becoming more and more polar, it's becoming more and more separate, it's becoming more and more easy to see. There is a polarization. Okay, I want to read something to you from Matthew chapter 24. This is another bit of Bible prophecy from the New Testament, from the life of Jesus. Matthew 24, let's read in verse 11 through verse 14 very quickly. I just want to read this. See what it says. Matthew 24, verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Do you know, just before our Christmas Eve service, someone called our church office and they said, I am Jesus Christ and I'm going to be coming to your Christmas Eve service. And I will be speaking to your pastor. That just proves that that scripture is right. Now, whoever it was, they never spoke to me, so I don't know whether they came or they didn't come, but I'm gonna say the Bible says there's gonna be many false Christs, and we see that happen. We see all these things happen, by the way. And he says this in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's not hard to get involved in sin. I mean, sin abounds, right? Rebellion. Just turn on your TV and try to watch something decent. There is enough garbage on there just to make you, it's awful. Just even the commercials sometimes. You know what I'm saying? There's just a lot of stuff in the world. There's sin abounding in the world. And he says, but he that shall endure to the end, what's happening, right? There's apostasy in the revival. He that shall endure the end shall be saved. So we've got to endure. Everybody say endure. Endure. You know, the light in you is greater than the darkness in the world. The God in you is greater than the devil in the world. The life in you is greater than the death in the world. The truth in you is greater than the lies of the world. Amen. So you don't have to fear, but you got to let your light shine. You got to keep being a light. And he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Apostasy and revival hand in hand at the same time. It's going on. Right now, polarization. The second thing he said, there's going to be a separation. A separation. All right? So there's separation that's going to happen. The good from the evil. In the church, there's a separation. See, because there's some that have been playing church, but in their heart, they're doing something different. So he said, there is a separation coming, and playing church is going to be more, it's going to become exposed. The things that are done in darkness are going to be brought to the light. Right? He said, there's a separation coming. Okay? Now, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy, another little bit of Bible prophecy. Isn't this interesting? In the New Testament, you read. I hope you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the latter days, perilous, hard-pressed, difficult times shall come. If I can tell you anything about the last 2 years, it's been difficult times. I can't explain it all. It's difficult. It's hard. You know, we haven't buried a lot of people, but we've buried a few. And nobody's ever seen anything like this. Nobody's ever dealt with times like this. None of the old timers can tell you anything about it because they've never seen anything happen like this. He says, hard pressed times shall come. Men will be selfish. That's evident. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. Right? We see that all around. Truth breakers, they break their word. False accusers, accusing you wrongly. You do exactly what God tells you to do and people accuse you wrongly. Incontinent, having no control over fleshly desires and appetites. Fierce, despisers of those who are good. The Bible says they'll call good evil and evil good. That's happening. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's happening. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I'm telling you, there is power in the gospel. Amen? So God said, number one, there's going to be polarization. Number two, he said, there's going to be separation. Number three, he said, there's going to be manifestation. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Listen, the church was born in power, and the church is going out in power. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to see the deaf hearing. We've seen those things. You're going to see the lame walking. Carly and Ashley have seen those things. You're going to see the blind seeing. We will see those things. You're going to see these things. There is the power of the Spirit. There are manifestations. And last of all, there is salvation. There is salvation. The Bible says this in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. In other words, there are going to be people coming to Christ. The Lord spoke to me and he said, there's going to be people coming to Christ that you thought would never come to Christ. There's going to be great salvations. There's going to be people, and they're going to be coming. Hallelujah. So you know what? We got to be out there sharing the gospel. We got to be out there sharing Jesus. Amen. Telling people Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Savior, the Lord, and he's coming as King. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. You know, we put a manger scene out in our front yard. We run it all the time during, you know, from dark till dawn. We run it all through the holidays. And I was out there, and we have some neighbors that moved in across the street last year, and they haven't even spoke to us. But the other day, I mean, they've lived there like a year. And they were having problems with their lawn system. I said, listen, I'll come help you. They didn't come over, but they had to replant all their grass last year. But anyway, the lady the other day just came across the street and started talking to me at the mailbox. I thought, this is amazing. And I saw she had a Christian publication. And I said, do you have a church? She said, no, I thought I should ask you where I should go to church. I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I would let me go get your card. I'd love to have you come to my church. Praise God. And she said, I have a son, and he's very sick, and he's in Kansas City, and he's going to come home. I said, if you want me to, I'll come, and I'll pray for him, and I'll lay hands on him, and we'll believe God. We have people healed in our church. See, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Hallelujah. So if you want me to, I'll come. And then he came home. They didn't ask me to come, but she talked to me again just yesterday. And so God's beginning to open the door. How there are people all around that are hungry for the gospel, for Jesus. He said, there's going to be, right, polarization. There's going to be separation. There's going to be manifestation. And there's going to be salvation. There are going to be people coming to Christ that you thought would never come. They're going to come from all kinds of places and all kinds of backgrounds. There's a great revival that's happening, and we're in it. Hallelujah. But can I show you some more? Do I have a little bit more time? I know I'm taking so much. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Forgive me, I took a little bit too much time. I'm having too much fun. It's like when Barbara asked me, I'm like, yes, I have a few things to say. Okay, now, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. I'll go as fast as I can. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast right up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast is the Antichrist. Right, the sea is the Gentile nations of the world. The beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, the Antichrist. Antichrist is going to come from the Gentile nations of the world. And they worship the dragon. They worship the devil. The dragon is the devil, who gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? All right, now, I was talking. I felt like I needed to call one of Mike Peterson this week. And Mike helped us start this church 21 years ago, Mike and Mary. And they've been so faithful. So I called him. And they said, Pastor, we loved your message last week. And after we watched yours in the morning, we turned on the afternoon and we watched Pastor George Pearson's from Eagle Mountain Church. He was preaching the same thing, the same message. And they said, and our son Michael came to talk with us. And we started telling him about this beast. And he said, have you seen this? And so I want you to put up the picture. Now put up the picture, guys. That is a statue that has been erected at the United Nations in New York. And they say they are the keepers of the peace. And he has the mouth of a lion, the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, and he kind of looks like the dragon. I think the dragon spirit comes out of China. That's what I think. Okay? All right, that they call it the beast. Listen, what are they doing? He opposes and exalts himself against all who is called God. They are mocking God. Now, can we read a little farther? Revelation 13. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And after he opened his mouth, now when you study about 42 months, in Revelation chapter 12, there's a woman that's hidden for 42 months. I believe it's Israel. There's different opinions on who that woman is. I believe the woman is Israel. I believe they'll be protected during this time. In Revelation chapter 11, God has two witnesses, right, that are speaking and doing miracles for 42 months. We read last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about how the Antichrist will do great miracles and signs. It's like God's here and the devil's here and you got to choose. Right? But God will send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie because they did not love the truth. You need to love the truth. You need to be hot on fire for Jesus. He says this. He goes on and says this. Let's just read. Blasphemy. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and all those that dwell in heaven. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over all the people and tongues and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. What is hindering the Antichrist from overcoming? What is hindering the system? I'm not saying the Antichrist is here. I'm not saying I know who he is. I'm telling you the system of the Antichrist is here. The systems are being set up for this to happen. Okay? And he says, okay, let's just read. All who dwell on the earth whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity will go into captivity. He that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So what do? We be patient, and we keep believing. And I beheld another beast. I believe this other beast in verse 11 is the false prophet. Just like we have a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the book of Revelation, they have an unholy Trinity, the dragon who is the devil, the beast who is the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He came up out of the earth and had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercises all power of the first beast before him, causes the earth who dwell therein to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. He does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast, and saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as who would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed, for he causes. Look at verse 16 to verse 18 closely. For he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand in their foreheads. that no man might buy or sell save that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that understands count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man, for his number is 666. Now, I'm not saying that I know who the Antichrist is. I'm not saying that Antichrist is here. But I'm saying that the system for the Antichrist to rule is being set up. And I'm saying we can see it. Okay? This week, if I'm correct, in New York, they arrested people in a Burger King for not having a vaccine card. Is it a sin to take the vaccine? No. Is it a sin to take a vaccine for smallpox? No, it's not a sin to take the vaccine, right? But I'm saying the system for the Antichrist is being set up, and it is here. And if you notice this, notice what it says. He's causing them that no man can buy or sell, right? Except they have this mark in their palm of their hand or in their forehead. Now, I'm going to read something else that was just given to me, right, after first service. So one of my people came, and they told me this, all right? I just looked it up on my phone during service, make sure it's right. COVID-19 in Sweden, the vaccine passport on a microchip implant. People who got microchips inserted under their skin, around 6,000 people in Sweden, have so far had this chip inserted in their hand. A Swedish firm has created underskin microchip for COVID. Swedish COVID vaccine pass microchip maker. Microchip implanted under the skin could be your COVID vaccine passport. I'm just telling you, it's not here, but the system is here. Hallelujah. So what is resisting the spirit of the Antichrist in the world? The church. And there's two things happening. If that picture of that beast that they just set up at the UN in New York, if that doesn't bother you as a believer, something's wrong. And this, you know, this mandate nonsense, this it's our way or the highway, it's the only way, this is not God. And it is the spirit of Antichrist has been on the earth since John's day, because John wrote about it in 1 John and how we overcome it. So the spirit of Antichrist has been here since 90 AD, since Jesus left, the spirit of Antichrist. But the system of the Antichrist is being set up. So we need to have our eyes open. We need to have our ears open. And guess what? We need to be shining bright for Jesus, because the King is coming again. Jesus is coming again. The King is coming, and my hope is in the King. Hallelujah. I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.